Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast of the Anne Rice Immortal Universe. Each week, co-hosts Christina LaRusso, Joanne Palumbo, and myself, Mark Snedeker, recap and analyze episodes, delve into Anne Rice's library, and have in-depth discussions of other works about the supernatural. This week, we will be discussing an amazingly timely article where Jacob Anderson was interviewed by Entertainment Weekly. Christina LaRusso, Joanne Palumbo, welcome.
Hi, Mark Snedeker. Hi, Joanne.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And to those of you who do not celebrate anything, good for you.
Happy day.
We call them the smart ones.
That's right. I bet you've had a lot less stress and certainly spent a lot less money.
I bet you saved some cash.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's almost as if AMC listened to our last episode.
I told you they do.
I think that it would be unlikely that however compelling the things we said were, that they could get all this together in like 4 days.
I don't know, because how on earth is it that you said in last week's episode, Jacob Anderson should go on, or they should go on Graham Norton, and now we find out that Jacob Anderson will be appearing on Graham Norton. Maybe Graham Norton listens to our podcast.
Well, I think this is the right time to say this to everyone.
Uh-oh.
I'm a time traveler. So I cheated a little bit. I went a couple weeks in the future. I watched the episode, came back. He was awesome. You'll all love it.
I think Sam Reed and Rollin Jones listen, and they must have told Jacob, like, hey, check out this podcast. He heard it.
I'm sure that's it.
Yeah, he heard it, and he was like, you know what? Get me Graham Norton. That guy, Mark, doesn't have many great ideas, but this is one of them.
But a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
It's true. We also kind of went a little hard on AMC last week, and we were like, well, you know, they need to give us some stuff. And now here it is.
I think they're getting close to releasing it soon.
I agree with you. I obviously, we're kidding about that.
I am not kidding. You're welcome, fandom.
All right. But here's what last week we spoke about the tentpole marketing approach. Yes. This is the beginning of that. I agree. It just happened to coincide. This is the beginning, right? So we're going to start to see a little bit more drips and drabs from AMC as we get into the new year. And I think we're going to get something starting in April. I'm going to stick by my guess. April is going to be when we get the first episodes, because they can continue editing. Even when episodes are airing, they can continue editing later episodes. So,
I mean, theoretically.
No, they can. They definitely can. All right. So what we are going to do in this episode is talk about yet again, another interview.
Which we are on the outside looking in.
That's right.
We love talking about interviews of people talking about Interview with the Vampire.
So let's start out with Jacob's interview with Entertainment Weekly. This was published on December 21st of 2023. I'll put the link for it in the episode notes. So if you have not read it, you can go back and read it. So let's just go around the table. I thought we could each select a couple of points from the article that we want to deep dive into. You know, maybe they'll overlap.
So one of the first things that I want to talk about, I'm sure Mark is ready to dive into, is four little words. Dubai is really explosive.
Yes.
That just sets it up, I think, nicely. I think we're going to really get into the meat and potatoes of the current day, which is awesome. And then he ends it with it's a heavy season for those guys in the present. So there's really going to be some good content, I think, that we're going to see from Dubai. And I know, Mark, you've been like chomping at the bit to get that.
I agree. Okay, let's look at that. Let's look at his quote in a little bit more detail. I'll read it, and then we can kind of dive into it. So Jacob says, the continuation of Dubai really opens everything up this season. Dubai is really explosive. Dubai really took me by surprise this season. There's a lot going on there, and there are things that are part of the wider series of books, but also things that are creations of the writers that makes complete sense to the characters that we know and love. It's a heavy season for those guys in the present. there's something in here that, first of all, as a book reader, I kind of went, ooh, that's interesting. He says that there's a lot that's going on. There are things that are a part of the wider series of books. So we're going to get, I think we're going to get a little bit more situated in the timeline.
You're definitely going to get some Vampire Lestat.
I don't know. In the modern day?
That would be incredible.
I don't know. I think that we're going to get that in season three.
Or do you think you're going to get the Vampire Armand?
I think we might get Queen of the Damned-ish kind of stuff.
That's a risky move.
But they're going to do, but here, what he says is the writers, some of this is creation of the writers.
Yeah.
So
we don't even know what we're going to get. Could be something that's never been done before, which is
It is going to be something. For sure, there's going to be stuff that is not canon.
Yeah. Vampirism is caused by midichlorians.
No, I hope it's not that.
I hope too.
I hope it's not that. But I think that there is a risk here that they are going to be taking, which is a pretty big departure from what happens in the books. Now, there are going to be people who have found this series without knowing the books, and that's going to be okay for them. They won't really have a frame of reference. Readers of the books might bristle at this a little bit, although I trust the writers. I like the changes that the writers have made already.
And they've done some pretty significant departures already.
They have. And it was interesting in this article because they said they seemed to suggest in this article that it was very true to the book.
Right.
And I would say, well,
to the spirit of the books.
I mean, at least to the spirit, but not there were some pretty significant departures.
Yeah, which is good.
I agree. Whenever I talk about departures from the book, I'm not saying it in a negative way, but there are a lot of fans of the books and who also are fans of the series that I think if they depart too far, I don't know, maybe that's a question.
If it departs too far,
do you think the fans will be?
They'll be pissed. They'll be pissed. I love it. Diehards will be pissed.
Those books still exist, right? They've not been wiped out of existence. If that is your preference and you are just hardcore book canon and that's all you want, you have the books. There's 0% chance that someone can actually do a faithful reproduction of the book chapter by chapter, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have that kind of time with our lives.
Well, and we've always said that. You've always really maintained that. And that's I agree.
They can't take too many liberties. If they take too many liberties with it, it's jumping the shark a little bit, depending how they do it, right?
Potentially. And it depends on what he means by it's a heavy season for those guys in the present. Like, we can't guess at what on earth is going to happen. Here again, I think we have to go back to some of the stuff that happened in the first season when they talked about the farm.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just a throwaway line.
You've always been stuck on that damn farm, Christina. Something has got to happen with that.
If it doesn't, it's going to always bug me. It's always going to be like, why did you have that? I think also the brute in Madagascar, the great conversion, these things that Louis was talking about to Daniel.
Those vampires that are listening to his maddening thoughts, right? Wasn't that a thing too?
The vampires who are going to scale this building and kill him. Because he's telling this story and Armand saying this is a suicide note that this book is really something that's good, that's potentially going to bring people bring other vampires to him to hurt him, to do Louis harm. That reminds me of that buildup during the Vampire Lestat. It's almost like, you know, how Lestat writes the music and writes his book and then he's going to have his concert and the vampires are coming from all around to take him out.
Yeah.
It feels like maybe that Louis doing this book, maybe that takes the place of Lestat's show. I don't know.
So I have two things to say about that. First of all, in the book, vampires who are literally their main job is killing are not very good murderers. Like, you had him up on a stage, right? With no weapons or protections of any sort. And if you really wanted to kill him, you could have killed him.
Well, he's very powerful, Lestat.
Well.
And he had a very powerful helper.
But they didn't even try to do anything.
Well, they did.
Not until it was time to run away.
Well, right. I mean, they did let him perform.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, shoot him with a gun. Like, maybe look into that. The other thing is, let's say they scale the building. Do you have any idea how thick the glass is on the 95th floor of the Wiz Khalifa building or whatever it's called?
Yeah, but they're incredibly strong.
They ain't that strong. You're not hurricane strong. You think they're going to get up there and punch the glass futilely for 10 minutes and then, like, sadly climb back down the building?
I think they get right in.
We didn't think of bringing explosives or anything, so.
No, I think that they could get right in. I don't know. It just, that setup, that idea of that. The other thing, Dr. Fareed being right there, there's something about him too. And in the books, he plays a role in the books. I mean, he's a part of the story in the books.
I predict.
Not as a human. He also is a vampire.
Yeah. I predict Daniel's medical condition is going to worsen.
Oh.
And I think that's going to bring in Dr. Fareed and also bring to a point the decision, right? Are you, as you know, as he's re-experiencing memories and dealing with the interview and all these other things, I think his health is going to worsen.
Do you think they're going to turn him?
Well, that's always been the question, right? Mm-hmm. Is he going to vamp or is he going to go? And exactly right. I think that's going to bring that question closer to a point. I don't think they'll resolve it this season, but I think the options are going to start narrowing a bit for Daniel.
So it's interesting because they have him having Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And Parkinson's is not a fast moving.
No.
My experience with people having Parkinson's is you get it and it's sort of a long term
decline. It's a degenerative disease.
Right, right. Sure. Yeah. So maybe he could get worse, but I don't know that, like, you know, it would necessarily be that, like, quickly now he's almost dead.
No, I don't think that's it. I think he's just going to be more and more reminded that his clock is ticking.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you. That hint that they're going to bring things in from the wider series of the books, I wonder if they're going to change things up a little bit here and have the issue be with Louis writing this book and the vampires come for them then. I don't know. But I also, I don't know. I also think that, I think one of the big surprises for Louis in this is that he's going to find out that Lestat is alive.
If he doesn't know, he's an idiot.
Well,
he was the one who not killed him.
No, but you know there's going to be the trial.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's going to presumably be the destruction of the
théâtre.
The theater. And he might think that Lestat is killed in the theater. And I think one of the surprises for Louis is that he's going to find out that Lestat maybe isn't dead. And what is going to then become of his relationship with Armand? We don't know. Okay.
Love of his life.
He is. Okay. And so that's, I guess, maybe a good segue into one of the points that I found fascinating in the article.
Yes.
Which is his conversation about Armand, and he says that they definitely hit it off. They have a real chemistry when they first meet. Armand would appear to be very different to Lestat, and I think he's more than a rebound, let's put it that way. But definitely residual trust issues and perhaps dynamics repeated, but not necessarily in the way you think. They just click, and they're not even really sure why they're drawn to each other. But it's an ever-shifting relationship as the season goes on. He goes on to say, definitely their relationship is a response to Louis and Lestat's relationship. But Asad and I have a completely different relationship to mine and Sam's relationship. And obviously, it's acting. But we made a decision very early on to not try and replicate anything from that first season. Tangibly, it has to feel like a different thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't understand why Louis would pick that relationship again.
I think that the dynamic he's talking about continuing seems pretty obvious to me. It's the Claudia problem.
Mm.
And we know that how that gets resolved, well, not in Claudia's favor, obviously, but you know, early on, she's again, now the third wheel again, now that Louis is infatuated with Armand, and her resolution this time, instead of murder, is to find a friend and turn her. And then I think that's the dynamic problem he's talking about, but I could be wrong.
Well, you did get that Graham Norton thing right, which, I mean,
stunning, isn't it?
God, you knocked me over with a feather on that one. All right, Joe, what do you think of that?
I think of it more. I think Mark could be right, too. I think there's you know, a lot to the, it's a loaded statement that he made there. I think we could interpret it many ways, and I don't think Mark is wrong, but I also think it could be about being controlling and manipulative. And I think where he's saying about the dynamic shift a little bit, I think he, and I think Armand allows it a little bit more, becomes controlling and demanding and manipulative over Armand. He thinks he is anyway. I think Armand lets him kind of think that, but I think there's that same power struggle and shift in their relationship where he realizes he's being manipulated about something, whatever that something is. Could be Claudia. Armand, maybe, well, we know, not fond of Claudia in terms of, you know, her creation. So it could be something like that. I'm thinking maybe like, and that's why he's saying him and I sat down and said we would make it different, obviously, than my relationship with Lestat. I don't know. How about you, Christina? What grabbed you about that section?
So I really am. This is going to be a deep dive, everyone.
This is such a surprise.
Everyone, hang on.
Hold on to your hats, all right. Vampires.
All right. So they have a real chemistry when they first meet. That's what he says. So to me, that, and he also makes note of this is, I think that he's more than a rebound, right?
Right.
So I think that what that means is that what is going on with Louis and Armand in the past is real.
It's Lumond, if you will.
Lumond. That is a real relationship.
Yeah.
And they are going to have real feelings for each other. It's how it is in the book. They do. Sure. Louis is crazy about Armand in the book. And really, in the book, in interview, Louis falls much harder for Armand than he ever expresses about Lestat in that book. Because Lestat's kind of just that one trick kick pony and just kind of a bad guy in interview, not in later books. I'm just talking about interview as a standalone. So to me, that's true. They have chemistry. Louis does like him. He admires Armand. Armand definitely has a thing for Louis, and Armand wants to get Claudia out of the way. He's more than a rebound, so this is not pretend. But he says there's definitely residual trust issues and perhaps dynamics repeated, but not necessarily in the way that you think.
What is the way that you think?
Well, I think when he's saying there are dynamics repeated, I think he means with Lestat. The same the dynamics that were in the relationship with Lestat, I think those get repeated ultimately in the relationship with Armand.
But I think where he says where you don't think it's, you know, where he says it's not what you think, I think maybe he was referring to like the physical abuse. I think it's the mental abuse that is going to be continued.
I think that it is going to be Louis again, kind of in a situation where he's withholding, you know, because of course that is what happens in that relationship. Ultimately, they're crazy for each other initially. And then Claudia meets her end.
Wait, what if it's about cheating? What if it's about that? Because Lestat was the cheater in that relationship. And obviously Louis was out trolling for dudes when he met Daniel. So they definitely had that different dynamic.
I think that was just part of their swinger vampire lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's just Armand.
But Louis wasn't into that when he was with Lestat. I mean, aside from
no,
face.
He wasn't. But I mean, I think that with Armand, it may be different. That could be a different dynamic in their relationship. And we don't know, because hopefully we'll learn more about what was going on in 1970s San Francisco. But do you know how that is when your picker is broken and you go from one relationship that may be a toxic relationship?
And you pick the same shit again. Just
and then
different.
The next relationship comes along and it feels different because maybe they look different, or they're doing different things, or they, you know, it feels different. But then after a while you realize, fuck, I've fallen right back into the same toxic cycle that I was in before.
I don't know, Joanne, does that sound familiar to you?
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
So
Joni's good.
So I think that might be it. Armand is going to initially look and feel and seem different from Lestat. And I don't mean physically look different.
Right.
I just mean it's going to seem like a very different kind of relationship. But then I think it's going to, as time goes on, Louis may fall back into that same kind of toxic relationship pattern with him.
Obviously, in modern day Dubai, Louis and Armand are together in some way, right? The love of my life.
Holding
hands
at the end.
Yeah. Does that mean that you think that their relationship has been constant.
No.
Since post-war Harris. Because then that has a big impact on the whole Daniel thing.
Timeline question, right?
Right.
So what you're getting at is, has Devil's Minion happened?
Yeah.
And I know that there is a huge segment of fans who believe that Devil's Minion has happened.
And he just doesn't remember it. And Armand was his first wife.
And Armand, yes. And there is a school of thought that that's what's going on there. Well, we had Erica on, and that's what she shared. Her thoughts were on this. I said this before. It is well reasoned. I don't know if I can get comfortable with that. I don't feel like that's correct. And it may be. And if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to admit it. But I think he's not. I don't think so. I think that Armand and Louis have been together. I don't know what happened with Daniel and Louis and Armand at that time. We know that Armand saved Daniel. He save him?
We know that Armand says he saved Daniel.
Well, that's true. Excellent point.
Armand is also a big liar.
That's true. Why am I so quick to believe Armand?
Because you're a sucker for a pretty face. That's why.
I believe Lestat.
Because you're like obsessed with him, I think.
She's like, he's so good looking. He wouldn't lie to me.
I know.
Even though he's a monstrous vampire. He totally mind controlled you.
I am. I'm under mind control by Armand. But I do this with Lestat too.
You give them
Louis,
the benefit of the doubt.
I trust everyone. And when I know, I fucking shouldn't. What's the matter with me?
Your picker is broken.
That's for sure.
Wow.
Remember, Christina, remember, they are unreliable narrators. Every last one of them.
Every single of them, including Roland and the writers, you bitches. Yes.
Yeah, lying sacks of shit.
The ever-shifting relationship as the season goes on, that says to me that stuff is going to start going down in Dubai.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see their relationship breaks down in Dubai. I think that it is going to be revealed to Louis in Dubai that Lestat is alive, and I think that Armand is going to have been telling Louis all these years, and Louis believes it, that Lestat died in the fire.
And
Louis.
Daniel is the catalyst or Lestat?
I think that Daniel is going to start asking the questions that cause Louis to go, hang on, you know? And
he's going to demand to see Lestat.
And then maybe.
He's going to walk in swinging that big D like, what's up, Bubba?
You think Lestat is going to, do you think Lestat will scale the outside of the building? All of a sudden it's just Lestat looking
Louis,
in.
Louis, open the window.
Let me in.
I can't hang out here
come
forever.
Come to me, Louis. Come to me.
Now, there are some people who believe that Armand is kind of being a caretaker and sort of looking over Louis, watching and making sure that Louis is not self-harming, is not going into the sun or whatever Louis may in his mind be wanting to do. But I don't know. I mean, it could be. That's
then
fair
maybe,
because he's Armand has got all the controls on his iPad and stuff.
So you're saying that Armand, a 500-year-old vampire, whatever he is, his way of controlling people is to have the Wi-Fi password?
You know what, Mark? I heard he got a lot of help from the Geek Squad setting all that up.
Yeah,
so.
he's like, oh, why is there so many characters in this thing? But Louis's like, Armand, I'm trying to watch Netflix. I'm sorry, I changed the password. Nope. Sorry, you can't watch TV anymore.
So it's like people think that Armand is also kind of mean because Louis can't get up and touch books because they're up on the thing and Louis can jump up there and get a book.
Say,
you guys,
look,
he can literally jump up there and grab a book.
Louis is very athletic. He wielded a spear in Game of Thrones.
All right.
I wasn't sure of it, but I Googled it. They do have ladders in Dubai. So everyone can calm down. He can get the books.
All right, Mark, what about you? What was one of the
Well, of course,
that stood
I'm
out for
very
you?
Excited about the Dubai stuff. You know, my biggest curiosity is how much are we going to see of Sam? You know, as much as I want to see all the Dubai stuff, we've seen pictures, right? Sam's definitely there. He's on that little throne on stage, we assume for the trial, possibly.
Yes. Yes.
But we also see him, I think possibly shortly after Wolf Killer in that like cloak.
Yep.
The luxurious cloak.
Mm-hmm.
But as Joni pointed out, she thinks he's got vampire eyes in that picture. Could just be, you know, the picture, but it's possible. So we should see, I think, some flashbacks to maybe not mortal Lestat, but early Lestat.
One of the things that Jacob says in the interview is the theme of season two is this idea of memory is a monster,
right?
And how memory and guilt can follow you around.
The guilt of killing Lestat, or leaving Lestat in New Orleans, at least.
The guilt of failing to kill Lestat.
Right. But also how memory and guilt can follow you around. Yeah. I think, remember when we saw the first trailer come out before the amuse-bouche, and there was the picture of Lestat, the painting of Lestat hanging.
That's our founder.
She says, who is that handsome man?
Yeah, Lestat de Liancourt. Oh, never heard of him or killed him or anything.
He's like, huh? Not.
But what?
Lestat. So,
never heard of him.
So Lestat is hanging. I said then, Lestat is going to haunt this entire season.
Right.
And I think that is...
So you think you'll see some phantoms, like Louis memory phantoms of Lestat
at times? I think it's going to be done in flashback to what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to see maybe stuff like that, where they're going to have memory as a monster and Louis's going to be working through these memories. I think that, you know, Daniel is going to be helping to provoke those.
Yeah.
I think that Armand may also be there to provoke those. Maybe to your point, show the
maybe, but he's probably the one that took him in the first place. So
took what
memories?
Oh, yeah. Could be. Well, you know,
that's kind of his gig.
I don't know. I think that there is going to be some Lestat, but I think that it's going to be much more like where's Lestat?
Right.
And here's where I think if we want to draw a comparison between how the interview team will handle something like this and how the witches team handled it. All right, so they had Lasher. And I think that in this, Lestat is going to be like that voice in Louis's head.
Right.
And I think that these writers are going to handle this phantom memory, this guilt and this memory of Lestat in a really great and powerful way. I think you're going to see less of Sam than you think you are.
But do you really think we're going to see less of Sam? I think from just a purely rating standpoint or production, I don't know. I think because he is a main character that we're going to see him more than we think we will. But in creative ways.
Well, it's like, I mean, you have Ted Williams. Are you going to put him on the bench? You know, because you want to surprise people?
Yeah, but he can't be as central as he was in season one.
Certainly not.
So I think that they're going to do, if you've got this sort of tension, Daniel has said to Louis, you didn't kill him. You know you didn't kill him. Yeah. You know, she would have killed him. You let her down, and now you know you didn't. And that's where we end. That's where the season ends. And you see Lestat's hand come out of the coffin.
I mean, that's a dead giveaway.
But I think that they have to deal with this sort of ghost of Lestat.
Yes. And I think you're right. They won't be clumsy and they won't show the monster.
So I think they won't show the monster. I think that they will show the monster sort of, but I think it's going to be in ways that it's like with the painting. Where it's always going to be this like tension of where's Lestat, and maybe Louis will, you know, catch sight of him. Remember there in the trailer, there's a hand, and Louis seems to be having a drink with someone, and someone said, "Oh, maybe that was Lestat."
Yeah,
you didn't see it, but it could have been, right? I think someone zoomed in on the hands and said, I know those hands. That's definitely Sam's hands.
Fair enough. I mean,
but I think that's the kind of thing that you're going to get, like, you know, these kind of flashes of him. And it's not going to be as ham-handed as they handled Lasher. I think they're going to make this, the ghost of Lestat, a much scarier thing.
Yeah. So definitely see him in some flashbacks, guaranteed.
And I definitely think that's what Jacob is referring to when he says how memory and guilt can follow you around.
That's really good, actually.
Do you think there is a 0% chance that Louis will experience some, like, out of the corner of his eye, he thought he saw Lestat, and he looks over there, you know, just like, you know.
A guy that kind of looks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an actual, like, kind of sighting. I think so. Once or twice, not a lot. Once or twice. So, building off of what you just said about themes, I want to read this little passage from the interview. While Anderson is careful to avoid talking about spoilers, he's eager to reveal that what goes down for Louis this season actually impacted him in real life. There are things that I can't talk about in this season that were really challenging and really shocking to me, and I've learned a lot of things about Louis and myself, he says. Another big theme in this show is that of endurance and resilience. And because of what Louis is experiencing this season, I've definitely learned that my own mind is more resilient than I thought it was. It's more robust. I can withstand more madness than I thought I could. It's been really fulfilling, challenging, and fun. When I read that part, as sad as I am to admit it, I think he's referring to Claudia's death. And here's why. Where he says that, I've definitely learned that my own mind is more resilient than I thought it was. Claudia is a daughter to him. He's a father in real life. And I think, you know, well, we know actors have to kind of go into the mindset of the character and what they're going through and maybe, you know, imagine themselves in that situation. And what would be more difficult than a father having to put himself in the situation of losing a child? So I'm wondering what you guys think about that, if that, you know, the theme of it being endurance and resilience could mean playing off of his own real life of being a dad and having to cope with the death of Claudia.
And it's very interesting that you bring that up. Yesterday, as soon as this article broke, people jumped onto a space on Twitter and I was listening in and I took part of a little bit in it. And that's one of the parts that I brought up as something that I found particularly interesting. And someone else who was speaking literally said the same thing that you did, that they thought it had to do with his own experience because of him having children, him having daughters.
Okay, so good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that kind of got there from that.
You're not alone in that. And I'm excited to see it. You know, we know that that's the direction that the book takes. I can't imagine that they would diverge from that.
Right. Because it's last episode of the season, she's out.
She's toast.
It has to happen. Mark, you said this right from the start. As soon as we have Claudia join into the mix, she is a catalyst for many, many things. Yeah. And she continues to be.
Sure.
Claudia continues to make appearances throughout the Chronicles, and her ghost is very powerful. Literally.
Like in the Anne Rice universe, you're only ever mostly dead.
Yeah, no, literally and figuratively, though.
Yeah.
So she is a very powerful presence. Just because she's going to be gone does not mean that she's not still a catalyst for things. And that definitely is it. One might think she'd be a catalyst for the immediate breakup of Louis and Armand. Now, I don't know if it's going to be the way that it's done in the book, where Louis kind of gets that Armand could have put a stop to what was going on.
Like, but I would really like to see the world. So,
but let's go to some museums, dude, and just like walk through art museums for 60 years, right?
That's reasonable.
And that's when Louis does the shutting down. Louis gets very into his own mind, and it's instead of living in a house full of rats and, you know, massive amounts of papers stacking up, they just go wandering through the art collections of Europe.
I mean, I think, you know, he literally comes out and says, we definitely stick to the second half of the book.
Right. I was actually just going to say that too, Mark, so that kind of is the nail in the coffin for me, for Claudia. Yeah. Bummer.
And I'd say it's faithful to the spirit and actually the literal plot. He says, I love the first book, but the second half is not quite as dense as the first half.
There's not as much action, right?
So the writers this season have definitely expanded on ideas that are hinted at or suggested in the second part of the book. So
what's been hinted or suggested?
I don't know what he could be talking about.
Because Claudia dying was not a hint.
Right. No, after the burning, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe more. Oh, that maybe could be it. They flesh out.
Maybe they'll take us on a vampire Rick Steves trip of Europe.
Could be.
We'll get to see all the great museums of Europe through their eyes.
Or maybe, you know, now we know that the Dubai penthouse is filled with stolen art.
We do.
We know that Armand likes to steal art. We know that happens in Devil's Minion. So maybe
when was the Mona Lisa stolen then returned?
But maybe in the 1900s, isn't it? Early 1900s?
It was probably Armand, that little scamp.
Armand. I'm wondering if they take elements of the Devil's Minion Daniel and Armand's story and put that into Louis and Armand's relationship. Maybe not, but it seems to me that it could be that they flesh out Armand and Louis. They tell you more because they must, because in this, Louis and Armand are together in 1970 in the series. That's not canon, but right. There they are.
I know.
And well,
are they though?
Maybe not. We don't. We just don't know.
We know nothing.
It's so crazy.
Jon Snow.
But this is the second. Jacob is the second person to make this comment to the press that the second part of the book is light on plot.
Not as dense.
Oh, right. He says it's not as dense. And Roland said that it doesn't have as much plot in the second half. And I get what Roland is saying, because it's a lot of internal monologue and, you know, it's much more existential in the second half,
which is difficult to show on screen,
which is difficult to translate. So they are going to have to fill in some blanks. And I think that they're going to amp up.
And that's what Dubai is for, right?
Yeah. Dubai is for, but I also think in Paris, that whole thing where they're rampaging and being vigilante vampires by going after the very bad guys.
You know, downloading the brains of their victims into a thumb drive.
That's not in the book, but that's okay. I mean, it tells the story. It tells the right story. It shows how they become interested in one another.
Yeah, it's certainly not outrageous that they would do stuff like that.
No. So, talking about Claudia, though, I was tickled to read Jacob say this. Claudia's in a very different headspace this season. She's got this drive now to find others like her. There's a different kind of maturity to the character, but also you feel her chafing against how she's seen in this very different environment to the one that she grew up in. Which, first of all, the picture of... There are two pictures in this article. One is of Jacob and Delaney.
Yeah.
Looks like they're probably just first arriving in Paris.
Looks like they just got off the bus.
So they've come from this pretty harrowing experience that they've no doubt had in Eastern Europe, where they've run into remnants.
Yeah.
And Claudia, as in the book, as I imagine, is like, we need to find more like us, not like these mindless weirdos. Yeah,
these guys aren't cool.
This is not.
Let's find some cool guys.
I don't like these vampires, you know? It's a great picture. They look road weary.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned the composition of the photo where there's a separation between them.
Yeah.
I think that is going to figure heavily. Claudia is going to have a very different, maybe, view of Louis in this season, because he's let her down.
Big time.
A couple times.
And we talked about that in the recaps of the last episodes.
Claudia is mentally an adult now, so we have to be careful not to give her too many passes, because she let him down too. She did some fucked up shit, collecting bodies all over the house.
When she was a child, having gone through her first heartbreak.
Well, how old was she then? 30?
No, she was in her, 18.
Oh, was she? Are you
sure? She wasn't 30.
She was young.
The titty in the drawer?
Yeah, that's when she was responding to Charlie's death.
Yeah.
So she was still very young. And
but she is, you know, a bit of a goblin herself.
He handles things differently than Louis, or approaches being a vampire differently than Louis.
She's more of Lestat in that aspect.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. She's got less humanity than Louis.
And she's got no patience.
Mm-mm. But Louis repeatedly lets her down. He's not a great parent.
He's not.
He does, and he let her down. He could have let her go. She should have been told, go. When Lestat brought her back, he should have said, just go.
Yeah.
He needs her. He says to her, you know, you don't need me. Well, he's right. She doesn't really need him. He needs her.
Right. So I think the greatness of the character of Louis is partially his lack of greatness in every other area. Mm-hmm. He's not a great dad. He's not a great vampire. He's not a great guy, honestly.
But he's a great lover.
Well, I mean, that may be his redeeming value, although we don't know that for sure.
I know.
Oh, okay. All right, Joan, you can write an essay on that. But because that makes him a much more compelling character that he is so deeply flawed without being unlikable, right? Because people still like Louis.
I love this Louis. This Louis has so much more agency. And
he's got more fire.
I loved Louis coming out of Interview.
You did.
So that's
saying something.
That's saying something.
Because he was a mopey son of a bitch.
Morose. He really is. But this Louis has so much more agency, I feel like, in the way that he's a businessman and a family man, and he has so much more agency in those aspects. He's such a much stronger character to me. But I also think that Louis's a bit of an emotional vampire. He's literally a vampire, but he's also an emotional vampire in the sense that he needs Claudia around him.
And now I'm just seeing what they do and what we do in the shadows or whatever. Did you know that they have an emotional vampire on that show?
No.
Oh, yeah. This guy looks like he's a middle-aged accountant, kind of, but he just goes in and he just starts talking to people, and they, slowly lose all of their energy. And he just talks about, the most inane shit ever.
Oh, my God. He should be on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. But that's a great show.
So I'm very excited to see what is Claudia's different headspace this season. And he says her different kind of maturity. But here's the thing that I was like, ooh, this is deep. This is juicy. She's chafing against how she's seen in this very different environment to the one that she grew up in.
Meaning
to me, it is going to be made very clear to her.
She's an aberration. Yeah.
That she should not be.
That's true to the book.
It's true to the book. And she does get that sense, because I think at first she's embraced into the theater, because we know that she performs on the stage. Yeah. We see her in her costume, and we see her also taking part in that blood orgy where they're all feeding off one another, the vampires,
yes,
the coven. So, I think she was always sort of, you can't say that though, because in this series, she was badly treated. In the relationship with Lestat and Louis. So it's not, now I'm kind of mixing book, where she was sort of pampered and coddled as a baby vampire. So
which
I take that back.
Hated.
But I mean, so then what could that mean? Chafing against how she's seen in this very different environment.
That kind of threw me too, because when they're at that chateau, she's really living her best life, you know? So what is it that is rubbing her the wrong way about all of this?
I have a guess.
Okay, what is it?
I think that the way she's going to be treated is less like a member of the Fangy Fellowship and more like a fun novelty, right? We love her. She's so cute. Mm. Oh, look at the young vampire.
A spectacle almost.
Yeah, she's not really a vampire. She's just kind of a novelty vampire. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one, Mark.
Oh, that's interesting, right? Because her drive is to find more vampires, vampires.
Right.
Huh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, my favorite part of this entire podcast is the absolute shock that Christina expresses every time she thinks I have a semi-good idea. She's like, oh, Mark, how did you?
I think that goes past the podcast too, Mark. I'm sure it bleeds into real life as well.
She's like, how did you come up with that?
No, I don't mean it to sound that way, but it's very apt what you're thinking there.
Yeah. Mark, I feel the same way when I have a good idea and you guys agree with it. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, good. I've done something here.
Not a podcast unless we have some kind of major malfunction with technology, and that's happened again. So we're going to stop here. We'll be back again with a fresh episode. We're excited because we have a really fantastic guest that's coming up. Her name is Joe. So we're going to have two Joes on that podcast.
We agreed that Joe, who is the guest on the show, is now named Cassandra.
I thought that Joanne was becoming Cassandra.
No, Joanne was here first. She gets to keep her name.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, Joe.
All right. So we are going to be talking about authorial intent and what that means to the series and what that means just sort of to literature.
It's a big subject.
Boy, it sounds boring the way I just said that.
No, it's super fun.
Yeah. So it's going to be a really good, fun conversation about authorial intent. All right, so since we do not have Joe due to technical difficulties, I'm going to take us out.
Wow.
All right.
I'm excited.
If you'd like to get to know us a little bit better, please come and follow us on Twitter. I am at Christina Gen X. Mark is at Mark Eats Peach. Our page is at Vampire_Insider. And we thank you for coming to listen to us each week. If you do like us, please share us with a friend. I'm going to say bye.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.